Blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 273, stanzas 2 through 4, 6 and 7. The time for Zion's help is near, and the time appointed in thy love. O, let thy gracious aid appear. Look thou in mercy from above. 2 through 4, 6 and 7 of 273. Thank you. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the prophecy of Isaiah in the 56th chapter. Isaiah chapter 56. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, and thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Isaiah chapter 56. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the Son of Man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant, even unto them, and will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord, to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even to them, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. And their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. All ye beasts of the field come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. And they all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. So far in the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, Thou whose eyes go to and fro over the length and the breadth of this whole earth, and Thou who knowest the secrets that live in the heart of each and every one of us, then it is only of Thy mercies that we are not consumed, because Thou knowest the wretchedness and the filthiness that lies within our hearts, and how deeply that we have fallen away from that blessed creation when Thou hast made us upright, and when Thou didst say, behold, it is very good. And now there is nothing good anymore, and that is living in our hearts, or that is coming forth from us day by day. And then it is a wonder that Thou still sparest our lives and givest us to continue even to this morning hour, to awaken to see the light of a new day. When against Thee, Thee only we have sinned. O Lord, that Thou may give to us a true sorrow, a true remorse, and that Thou would not only forgive all our sin, but that Thou would also renew us, that Thou would also give to us new hearts that may not sin anymore, that may walk in uprightness before Thee, that may love Thee with all our hearts, that it may be evident in our life, that it may be evident in the love that we have for one another, that Thou may so apply that precious blood of Thy only begotten Son to each and every one of us, that we may be so cleansed and washed, that we may appear white before Thee, and that we may be able to stand at Thy judgment seat. Lord, that is from our side so undeserved, and it is and it will be the greatest wonder if Thou will bring us in on that last day, and not cut us off from Thee, who have had so many, many blessings bestowed upon us in all the natural things of this life, but also that thy patience with us is so very, very great, that thou bestowest labors also in thy house of prayer, that thou givest thy word, the reading and the preaching of thy word, that it may come to our ears, that we might know our state and condition. Lord, open then our eyes, and give our hearts to see, and give a true weeping and a true mourning for our departure from thee, and give a true love and a desire to return unto thee again. Oh, that this may be the fruit of this morning hour, when we may be together in thy house of prayer, for a moment gathered around thy holy word and testimony, all things passing away in this world, but thy word, thou sayest, that will not pass away. And it is that which thou wilt use, and by thy Spirit to bring into the heart of a man, to give unto him new life, and a true hunger and thirst after the living God. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, that thou mayst so come in this morning hour, and that thou mayst so bless us with thy grace and with thy Spirit, that our hearts may be changed from this moment onward. And if we deceive ourselves, going over this world, thinking that it is thy work, and when it is our own work, Lord, that thou mayst so open our eyes this day, and that thou mayst give us true remorse and true repentance. But look also upon those who are those little ones among thy own flock, whose fears are often so very, very many. And Lord, wilt thou stand on the right and on the left, and could it please thee to grant them a blessing in this morning, that thou may encourage them upon the way, who can see no way for themselves, and that thou may keep from despairing of thee and of thy mercy in the midst of the strife wherein they have entered by that new life. Oh, that thou may so uphold, Lord, all of thy own true children, that thou may increase their number amongst us and amongst those that are in this world, that thou may grant servants over the length and breadth of the world to bring thy word to the Jews and to the heathens, and those who believe not in thee and in thy only begotten Son, but that thou may also not leave us with our children, and that thou may give us a need in our heart for thy dear Son. Look on thy children that have departed so far from thee, for they are able to depart, but they are not able to return. And so thy bride did exclaim, draw me, we will run after thee. And when it is so in this morning in the life of thy church, that thou wouldst so look upon them, and that thou may revive thy own work in the midst of the years, and give that thy Spirit and may once again go forth with power, and that their hearts may again be revived in the love of thee and of thy only begotten Son. Oh, that he may become precious by renewal, and that they may be given to eat something
of that manna which came down from heaven. Lord, look on all the poor and the needy ones. Thou makest thy people to be so, in order that thou may help them, and that thou may receive the honor. Remember all the afflicted ones in our congregation. Wilt thou be with those that are cared for by others in the nursing home or in their own homes, those that recover from falls and that have weaknesses of the body, all widows, widowers, and orphans, and those that have become old and frail, and all that have needs and cares of the body that need healing by thee. Wilt thou strengthen and uphold in thy mercy? And wilt thou give a place by thee in all the needs and in all the cares of this life? Lord, wilt thou go before us in this morning? And when we are called to bring a portion of thy word amongst the flock over which thou hast made us overseer, oh, that thou may give to us the strength and the wisdom and the courage and the insight and the ability and the grace and everything that we stand in need of when we have it not from our side. But wilt thou show and make evident that indeed thou hast put thy word in our mouth and that thou may use it, Lord. Oh, could thou use it in this morning for this one or that one in our midst, for thy glory, for our soul's welfare. Forgive all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 439, stanzas 3 and 4. Whom have I, Lord, but thee on high? None else on earth can satisfy. But thou, O God, my soul's deep yearning, for thee my troubled heart is burning. The last collection today is for our school. We make the first wedding announcement of Michael Jack Visser and Carrie Elaine Van Cly on Friday, July 23rd at 11 o'clock a.m. Reverend C. Zonneveld officiating in the Lethbridge Netherlands Reformed Church. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory by July 13th. 439, 3 and 4.
Congregation, our text for this morning hour can be found in the portion of God's Word which was read to you, Isaiah chapter 56, and thereof the verses 3 through 7. Isaiah 56, verses 3 through 7. Neither let the son of the stranger, and that hath joined himself to the Lord, speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and in my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord, to serve him, and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. So far, the words of our text. The blessed encouragement of the Lord to the sons of the stranger and the eunuchs. First, who that the sons of the strangers and the eunuchs are. Second, what the sons of the stranger and the eunuchs did. And third, the word of the Lord to the sons of the stranger and the eunuchs. The blessed encouragement of the Lord to the sons of the stranger and the eunuchs. First, who that they are. Second, what they did. And third, the word of the Lord unto them. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the Son of Man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. To whom, congregation, does the Lord speak? The Lord speaks by Isaiah his prophet unto those who, as it were in the captivity. Thus already beforehand, Isaiah is prophesying what is going to take place in the future. And then he speaks not only about that captivity, but he also foretells that that people shall return out of that captivity. And this you have heard something of already 2 weeks ago when it was read to you from the last verse of chapter 55. And we read in the last two verses there, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Thus the Lord, he was going to bring his children back. And then it would be so good for them to come back. And then we read everything that will become new, as it were, unto them. And so the Lord shows how good that it is to come back. The Lord shows how good it is to come back after we have left Him. And when in our deep fall we have departed so far from Him, and then to come back again, you say, young people, that is a miserable life. That is a life of weeping. That is a life of sorrow. And that is a life of disappointment. Oh, that is a life that the people would never exchange. Not for all this world. Why? Because it is the beginning of coming back. And there is nothing so good in the life of a person that they may come back. Do you believe this? And that is not only for the first time, but that is also by renewal in the life of God's children, because they are like wandering sheep. And they are constantly departing, but now to be brought back again. And so Isaiah prophesies that that time that is near to come. And then he speaks about when they shall be brought back. And he says, then keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Thus, he speaks about doing judgment. He speaks about keeping the Sabbath day. He speaks about doing justice. And why? Well, congregation, why is it that the children of Israel had to go into that land of Babylon? Was it not because that they had sinned against the Lord? Was it not because they had turned away from the Lord and they had turned their hand to the idols of all of the nations, that they had put their hand forth unto iniquity? Thus, there is a reason for their captivity. And now what does the Lord say? The Lord says He is going to bring them back again. And now that return that ought to be met also from their side with something. What is that? Oh, that ought to be met from their side with walking in a way of repentance. That ought to be met on their side with walking now in the way of obedience. When the Lord will bring them back again, that they will show something of that desire of their heart, that they would leave those ways that they had chosen before, that was their desire, but that they had now chosen a new way because the Lord, He had promised to bring them back again. Thus was not the very reason for their bondage, that the Lord may correct them in their way, that the Lord may turn them again from their evil and bring them back again to the service of Himself. And thus the Lord speaks of bringing His children back. And then there is a great expectation. Then there is a looking forward by the people of the Lord. We can understand that. They are lying in captivity. Their harps, they are upon the willows. They have no power in themselves to make a change in that wretched condition that they have brought themselves in again. But then the promise of the Lord comes. And the Lord says that He is going to do it for them. And so that people, they are lying now in expectation. In expectation and looking for the favor of the Lord, for the blessings of the Lord. Do we desire them also? Or is it our desire that we may again be blessed by Him, that we again may be favored by Him? What a great wonder that is to receive a promise of the Lord. They are not as the promises of men. And why not? Because of who the Lord is. Because He is almighty. to be able to fulfill his promise, not as men who are not able to fulfill their promises many times. And he is also faithful that that word that he has spoken that shall come to pass, that there is no question for that true people of the Lord, that the Lord certainly is going to do it, and therefore they may plead when the Lord gives to them a promise. And they may say, Lord, remember that word that thou hast spoken unto thy servant. God's people, they are so very, very blessed, are they not? Do you think so too, boys and girls, young people? What is your opinion of that true people of the Lord? Do they not have everything? Is that not for this time, and is that not for eternity? Or do they not have everything when they have the favor of the Lord? Do we desire this also? And now there are people that stand on the outside of these promises of the Lord. There are people that are not able to receive encouragement out of those promises. And who are those people? We read of them. That is first the son of the stranger. Literally, it says the son of strangeness, or the foreigner, or the alien. We know that in the time of the Old Testament, that the true people of the Lord, and they were equated with the nation of Israel. And those that were on the outside of this nation of Israel were excluded. We know that there were, of course, sometimes proselytes, and although that they were very few, and then in a special way in this time, wherein the children of Israel were under the rod of the Lord, and that we cannot imagine that those proselytes were very many at all. Thus, indeed, there were proselytes, but the son of the stranger, or the son of strangeness, the foreigner from that true people of the Lord, he was actually one in and of himself that was estranged from God. That was estranged from that true people of the Lord. And thus it was a people who were not able to just take those promises that belong to God's true children and apply them to themselves, because it was a people who stood for themselves on the outside of that people of the Lord. Thus we have, in the first place, the sons of the stranger. We have, in the second place, the eunuchs. And who are the eunuchs? The Lord Jesus says that there are three kinds of eunuchs. He says, for there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. What does that mean? That means that they are men who are restrained from offspring by the very providence of the Lord. It is the hand of the Lord directly in their life. Then the Lord Jesus says, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. That was the practice of the heathen kings, especially for those men who had to be the keepers of the women, of the many wives and the concubines of the king. Third, the Lord Jesus says, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Those, they were not literally eunuchs, no, but they were those, the Lord Jesus says, who are given the gift of continence, and therefore they are those who are not required to marry, thus the eunuchs. And there was a law in Israel against the eunuchs. What was that law? That law said that those eunuchs, we read that in the book of Deuteronomy, that they shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Those were not those eunuchs that were so born from their mother's womb, but those were those that were made eunuchs of men. That was considered to be a mutilation of the nature of man as God had created him, and that did not belong unto the character of God's true people. So what does that mean? That those eunuchs, they shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. There are different interpretations of what that actually means, that they were not able to enter into that congregation. Some say that that means that they were not allowed to marry within the congregation of the Lord. Some say that they were not allowed to have an office within the church. And there are others that go so far as to say that they were not permitted to come into that covenant fellowship with God's people. Regardless, there is without doubt a certain restriction that is placed upon these eunuchs. And that is an expression of the horror, as it were, of the Lord upon such a mutilation of that nature in which he has created man, thus a eunuch. A eunuch was one who was without fruit. But the promise of the Lord that went to Abraham, that had not only to do with him, but that had also to do with his seed. And what was that one thing that was the hope of all of the children of Israel? And when they have come forth from the loins of Abraham, well, there was that promise still to be fulfilled of that coming of the Messiah. And then the hope of the Israelite was that he may be a partaker of this blessing, and that he may bring forth this Messiah. Thus, the eunuchs also, they were those who were on the outside of that hope of Israel. And now Isaiah, of course, he speaks about the captivity and the return from the captivity. And we know what has happened in the captivity. Then there were young men, young Hebrew men, that were made eunuchs in the palace of that king of Babylon. That was the lot of Daniel, of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. When the Lord then gives hope to his people, when they are to be lying in that faraway place, that the Lord may bring them again to their land, then the Lord is remembering in a very special way the sons of the stranger and the eunuchs. Thus the Lord, he speaks that promise in a general way. But the goodness of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord and the compassion of the Lord that is so great that as he is sitting upon his throne in the heavens and as he is looking upon his people, then he is looking in a very special way upon those who are so low among his church, that he is stooping, as it were, to remember those who among his people were not able to receive that hope unto themselves as the rest of the church of God was able. We read in God's word, "For the sighing of the needy will I arise now, saith the Lord." And we want to see that further in our second thought, what these sons of the stranger and the eunuchs did. Neither let the sons of the stranger that have joined himself to the Lord. The Lord congregation is able to take the greatest evil and to use that greatest evil for the highest good. So we can read of the fall, how great an evil, none greater in this world, was the fall. But the Lord has taken this evil and he has, in his all-wise decree, used it for the greatest good, even for the salvation of his church and for the greater glory of his own name. Oh, what an evil that was when Elimelech brought his wife and his family down to Moab. And what an evil has come upon them in the death of husband and of sons. But it was through this evil that the Lord has brought a Ruth back unto the children of Israel. And now we read also of the Babylonian captivity. There were Israelites who never came back. How will that be with you, young people? There were Israelites who never came back. What do you think of that service of the Lord? They had to go away into Babylon, and when they had a little taste, they had a little taste of the world and of the idols of the world, then their heart loved it. There was never a mourning in their heart for the welfare of the people of the Lord, the welfare of Zion, that God's city that was lying in ruins, that was never to them a burden. Thus there were those that may receive a little taste of the world, and that left that truth because the love of it was not in their hearts, and they never returned again. Then we read that there were strangers that joined themselves to the Lord. Thus, the children of the fathers and the mothers of the Jews that to leave and never come back. And then children of the strangers, children of those who have brought up their sons and their daughters in the world, and they, when the children of Israel were lying even in captivity, when they are lying even under the rod, They see something of the beauty. They see something of the preciousness of the children of the Lord. And we read here that they are the strangers that joined themselves unto the Lord. We know that that was now the case of Ruth, that it was under the rod that Ruth did see the preciousness of the true people of the Lord. Thus, of what is Isaiah speaking? Does he speak then of those who join themselves to the church and that sit under that truth from week to week, that come and that go from the house of God with a form of religion all their life long? No. No, he does not speak about this at all. But he speaks about something else. There are those that joined themselves to the Lord. That was a joining of their heart unto the Lord. Their heart that was lured. It was lured away from the world. It was lured away from all the vanity and the carnality of the world. And that was lured unto the true and that living God, that Jehovah, that covenant God of the children of Israel. Oh, they joined themselves. That is now the work of the Lord, to join a man to his people, but it becomes the work of that regenerated man by the Spirit of the Lord. To make that blessed choice. When the Lord is giving that spiritual life, and then that will that is being renewed, so that a man joins himself to the Lord. Also, the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve Him. All that is now the desire of that newborn soul to serve Him. Is that also your desire? What is our desire by nature? Oh, we serve ourselves and we serve all this world. And what do we read here? To join yourself to the Lord and to serve Him. That is a man, a boy, a woman, a girl. That says, all these hands and these feet, all this heart that has served this world long enough, that they turn away from that service, and that their heart that makes a blessed choice, all that this body from head to foot, and this heart all within, without, with soul, with might, with strength, all that will now serve the Lord. And where does that all come from? All we read, and to love the name of the Lord. Love. That is something that lies in our heart. Love that is an affection. And it is out of that love that is planted in the heart of the people, that this desire to join myself to the Lord and to serve the Lord, that is all flowing out of that love. But that love here, that is also a verb. Thus, it is not only something that exists, but it is something that the people, they as it were vow to do. Oh, I will love Him. I will love Him with all my strength. I will love that name of the Lord. And I will not depart from the love of that name, not for all the love of this world, to love the name of the Lord and to be His servants. We read to serve Him, but this is actually a different word, to be His servants. That is actually to be His slave. That is actually to submit myself, or to lay myself under him, according to his rule, that I will walk now, not in the way of my own law, to do that which is right in my own eyes, but that I will walk now according to that blessed law of the Lord. Everyone and that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it. What is the Sabbath? The Sabbath that is the highest day in the life of God's children. Is that the highest day in your life too? The highest day. Why? Because they may come to the house of the Lord. Because they may worship Him. And thus, it is not just of the Sabbath that Isaiah speaks, but that Sabbath as the representation of the entire worship of the Lord. Thus, those strangers that do join themselves unto the Lord with a wholehearted desire for the blessed worship of that true and that living God. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, and one that is ready with all his heart to carry out the responsibilities of those who belong unto that covenant people, whose heart is filled with that desire. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Thus, they are those that joined themselves to the Lord. That was by the Spirit of the Lord. That was with all the desire of their heart. And yet they have a fear. And what is that fear? That fear is that they will not be received by the Lord. Why? Upon what is that fear based? That fear is based upon their origin, who they are. Because I am the son of a stranger. Because I am not included. Because I am not one of that true people of the Lord. Because I'm a foreigner, because I am an alien of the commonwealth of Israel. Or their origin, they have against them. They say, I am of an evil stock. And then there are eunuchs. And the eunuchs, they say, behold, I am a dry tree. What is that? A dry tree that is a dead tree. Did you ever see a tree that was dry, boys and girls? If you see a tree now in the springtime, in the summertime, that is dry, and then you say that tree that is dead. And that is now what these eunuchs said. And why? Well, because they cannot bear fruit. Thus they said, we are useless. And we are no profit unto the Lord. What kind of a fruitlessness is this? It is a perpetual fruitlessness. There was nothing to be done about it. It was not a fruitlessness that was able to be remedied, that they would be able to have fruit in the future, no. No, but it was with them no fruit from this tree henceforth forever. Or why does such a tree then cumber the ground? And they have even a law we read against them, that they shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Oh, the Lord, he is horrified at this blemish of unfruitfulness that was not as they were created, no. They were created so very, very different. But they have made themselves fruitless. They have made themselves fruitless when they have fallen in their father Adam, when they have fallen dead in trespasses and in sins. Behold, I am a dry tree. And yet, they are eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Oh, they are eunuchs that love me, the Lord says. They are eunuchs that love my day. They love my service. They love my people. They are eunuchs. They do not depart from the temple of the Lord day nor night. They are eunuchs that choose the things that please me. They are eunuchs whose heart that is inclined to my statutes, that whose heart that is inclined to all of my commandments. All they are eunuchs that to take hold of my covenant. They are eunuchs, though everything that is against them, oh, they are still yet cleaving. And they are cleaving with Jacob, and they say even unto the Lord with Jacob, oh, I will not let thee go, except that thou bless me. Oh, it is now these that the Lord addresses by the mouth of his servant Isaiah. No, they are not people that are able to testify of great things. Not in their religion, not in their experience. It is now just the opposite. It is those who stand on the outside. By their origin, by their condition, and they fear that they will have to stand on the outside forever. It is those against whom the law of the Lord itself testifies. They say, when God's people shall return, oh, when the Lord is going to deliver his people, and when the Lord is going to bring them in again, oh, then, oh, what is going to happen to me? And then that law, oh, that law that says that I shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. All that is their burden. That is their grief. That is their sorrow. And yet they can do nothing different than to still join themselves to the Lord. Or they can do nothing different than still to take hold of his covenant. And if it must be, oh, if it must be that the Lord, he is going to cast me away, then I will perish. I will perish at his footstool. Let us sing. Psalter 72, stanzas 1 and 4. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye, and seek my face, my heart and lips. Their answer speak, thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. 1 and 4 of Psalter 72.
Thank you.
our last thought, the word of the Lord to the sons of the stranger and the eunuch. And what is that? Neither. Let the son of the stranger and that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. The Lord says, let him not say this. Let him not say this. The law, congregation, that is an hard schoolmaster. And that is necessary. It is necessary because of the holiness of the Lord. It is necessary because of the justice of the Lord. And when there is no repentance under that law, and then what shall our judgment be? But we read by Jeremiah that the Lord, he says, I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock that was unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. And then what was the answer of the Lord? O is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Joseph, congregation, could not long hear his brothers speak to one another. He could not hear them long. But we read that his bowels, they were moved for his brothers. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. What do you think, young people? How much does it take to move the bowels of the Lord? How much does that take? Oh, it doesn't take so much. Only follow the Lord Jesus from step to step in his blessed ministry. Oh, how much did it take for Nineveh to turn the Lord away from that judgment that he had pronounced upon them? And how much more the strangers and the eunuchs that do join themselves unto the Lord. From their own side, they are outside of everything. Everything testifies against them. And now what does the Lord say? He says, I will not have that people to despond. When they hear the promises that I give unto my people, and when they are not able to take it unto themselves and to apply it to themselves, oh, then I will not have that people to despond. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and that choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name. Better than of sons and of daughters, I will give them an everlasting name, and that shall not be cut off. No, they shall not be excluded from my house. No, they shall not be excluded from my walls. But I will give them a place. And I will give them a name. And what is that congregation? To be given a place in the walls of the Lord's house by the Lord. That is not a place that I have taken, but that is a place that He has given to me. And the Lord says, I will also give to them a name, because those eunuchs, they had no fruit. They had no fruit from themselves. They had none to carry on their own name in the future generations. And there was nothing of their own and that they could boast of. But when the Lord, He says, you have no fruit now from yourself. And when you have nothing to show, as it were, for all your religion, then I will give them a name better than that name that they could receive among all mankind for everything that they could bring forth from their own side. Oh, I will give them the name of redeemed. Redeemed by free and sovereign grace. I will give them the name of saved. Saved. An everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Why? Because the Lord is not able to deny Himself. And when He will give that name, and then that name shall never be taken unto Him again. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve Him and to love the name of the Lord, to be His servants. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted on mine altar. For mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Oh, have those sons of the strangers joined themselves unto the Lord? Have they joined themselves even unto my persecuted people? Have they joined themselves unto that people whom I even had to place under the rod? Have they left the world and every former friend in order that they may join themselves unto me? Oh, that sacrifice that shall be accepted on mine altar. Oh, that sacrifice that shall never be in vain. I have received it. Oh, no, it is not worthy in and of itself. But I have accepted it, and I will place it on my altar, that is the altar of my only begotten Son. And there I will wash away all the filth and all the pollution of their most holy duties and of their most holy sacrifices. But I will receive it. And they fear to be separated from me forever and forever. But I will bring them to my holy mountain, and I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. O the Lord says, I will put to shame all their fears that they fear. And so the works of the stranger and of the eunuch, they shall be accepted. No, that is not for their own merit, but they shall be accepted because it pleases the Lord in His only begotten Son. And previously, these were forbidden. These were forbidden. The sons of the stranger and the eunuchs, previously they stood on the outside. All has forbidden them the law. The law. But Isaiah, he is looking forward. He is looking forward to that time that the Messiah is going to come. And that Messiah now, he is going to fulfill that law. And he is going to take away all of the curses and everything that would make separation between a sinner and the Lord. He was going to take it all away. And the Lord, he says, therefore, I will now include them. O congregation, are there strangers? Are there eunuchs? To whom are those promises that are in the word of the Lord? Or you say, I cannot apply them. I cannot apply them. There is a world in which we live that can take those promises and they can apply them to their own hearts. Oh, we need to have a right to it, congregation. We need to have a right to it. Are there those who have no right to it? Are there those who are made as the eunuch, who are fruitless because of the choice that your father has made and that you continue to make throughout your life? Barren, since the day of your fall, since the day of your birth, does the law exclude you? So that you fear that you will be forever standing on the outside. But do you now join yourself to the Lord? No, we are not asking if you have become a member of the church. We are not asking if you go from week to week, form and custom to that house of the Lord. But we ask this. Do you join yourself to the Lord to serve Him and to love the name of the Lord? Is that not so very, very different? Oh, that heart in true regeneration, all that is uniting itself. The Lord is making His choice for His people. And when the Lord makes His choice for His people, all then that people, they are making their choice for the Lord. That is the fruit. That is the fruit of the work of the Lord. We love Him, John says, because He first loved us. Now that is the mark that the prophet of the Lord, that the Lord Himself, He is here bringing into the foreground. In our text, then He is not speaking, congregation, of the highest steps of grace that a person can come to in his life. But He is speaking about a genuine mark. A genuine mark. And He makes a connection between this genuine mark and the very highest blessings that the Lord is giving unto His people. What does the Lord say? He says, oh, if that beginning, If that beginning is right in your life, then that end will also be right. Oh, there is still comfort. There is still comfort for that church outside of those highest steps of grace. But do we now find those marks also within ourselves? To be as a stranger, to be as an eunuch that joins itself to the Lord, to serve Him and to love the name of the Lord. But are you often discouraged? Because you say, I do not know if I am one of those elect. I do not know if I am predestined unto eternal life. Oh, what does the Lord say? Do not say so. Do not say so. But the Lord says, go on and on. Go on and on. And with that choice that your heart has made to join yourself and to love Him and to serve Him, and all then see what the Lord is going to do. People of the Lord, how often do you not ask, say, Lord, am I thy child? Is it really true? Art thou truly my God? Hast thou taken me truly to be one of thy children? Because it can be so often that there is so very little left that a person can see anymore in his whole life. That is what we read here. Behold, I am a dry tree. A dry tree. And sometimes the whole life of the people so testifies against them that they think that there is no root of the matter in them. No root of the matter. And that they are actually nothing but a dead tree. And yet there is one thing. There is a thing they cannot deny. And what is that? O Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. That rich young ruler, he came to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus, he said afterwards to his disciples, how hardly shall a rich man enter? Oh, easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. What did those disciples say? Who then can be saved? Who? The Lord Jesus, he said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. The disciples, they didn't know it anymore. What does Peter say to him? He says, Lord, we have left all. We have left all and we followed thee. That was all that he could find. And what did the Lord Jesus say? He said, behold, those, there is not a man who hath left father and mother and brothers and sister and lands and peoples who shall not receive more in this life, fathers and brethren and sisters and mother and father, with persecutions, and in the life to come, a life everlasting. But the last, he said, shall be first, and the first shall be last. Amen.
O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou look upon the eunuchs and the strangers? Because we have departed from thee, we cannot come back to thee. But thou rememberest those who are not able to help themselves, all that they may be found also in our midst, and that we all together may so receive thy salvation as such persons, because and we shall then glorify thee, and we shall then magnify thee to all eternity. Forgive all that is sinful within and without. Bless thy word. Give us a desire to be among thy true church. Bring us safely to our homes, and with desire again in thy house in this afternoon hour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 228. 1, 2, and 3. Lord God of hosts, in mercy, my supplication hear. Almighty and all faithful, our Father's God, give ear. And what follows in all stanzas of 228.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.